First John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14 is a section I'll be preaching on this morning. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Can we pray, please? Father, I know the power and the truth of this word to be shared this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you'll grant your children ears to hear. And I pray for the ability, Lord. Oh Lord, we know you are in and behind all events for your own plans and purposes. And therefore we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is a passage that so many people have interpreted in so many different ways. I have heard contradicting interpretations of this passage. So many funny things people have said about what we read here. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to follow John Calvin's advice, and I'm going to simply read this passage in a very literal and obvious way. I'm not going to read anything into it. I believe when God speaks to us in the Bible, he speaks simply. He doesn't use symbols and mysteries when it comes to the substance of the gospel. So let's not assume there's a hidden meaning here. Let's just read this passage as we find it. Now, in a nutshell, what is John telling us here? He's telling us this. It doesn't matter how old or how young you may be, if you are a born-again Christian, you are right now complete. You are an absolute winner in Christ, no matter what your age. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 12. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. Now notice, he doesn't say your sins will be forgiven. He says they're already completely forgiven. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Who is he from the beginning? God. You, fathers, know him. Present tense. You've been forgiven. You do know him. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Notice, not you will, but you've already done it. You have victory over Satan. Notice here three groupings. Dear children, fathers, and young men. But notice the same blessings the fathers have are given to the children as well. He writes, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. So stop here for a moment. John writes to all Christians, technia, little children, fathers, And in this culture, fathers implies mothers too, so don't feel left out. And young men, nialiskoi, which I'm not joking, in the concordance, refers also to young women as well. He's writing to Christians of all age groups. But notice what he's telling all the age groups. He says, you know God. Not you will. You now know him who's from the beginning. Your sins have been forgiven. Right now, you stand before God, spotless and perfect. You are forgiven. He says you have, present tense, not future. You have overcome the devil. And verse 14, you are strong and the word of God lives, present tense, in you. All people, he's saying here, old people, little people, young people, you are all, if you are Christians, absolute winners. All of you, regardless of age, you're forgiven. You've already won the battle. You're filled with the Spirit. Now that may sound very nice, but it's difficult, isn't it, sometimes for us to accept this. I mean, we may be Christians, but we don't always feel very strong, do we? Well, I don't. We don't always feel that we've won the battle with Satan. We sometimes feel he's getting the upper hand. It's hard for us to accept we've been totally forgiven. Sometimes we feel guilty and condemned. But let me prove to you now that what John writes here is true and absolutely true. If you're a Christian, no matter whether you are young or old or somewhere in the middle, you are, according to this passage, completely qualified for glory. The vital question is this. Are you Christian? Listen, if you're not a Christian this morning, please talk to me afterwards. But I'm sorry, this doesn't apply to every Tom, Dick and Harry. This applies to those who've been brought out of darkness and into light. The regenerate, the born again. Now, if you're a born again Christian, is it not true this morning, no matter how old you are, how young, did Jesus die for you? Did he? Is it true that all of your sins were placed upon him and he paid the price for them? Do you realize if that's the case, then there now is no sin that God has against you at all? Do you realize as far as the east is from the west, pretty infinite, so far has he removed your transgression from you. There is no sin in you. You are, present tense, Christian, forgiven. Not one day. You're spotless in God's eyes now. Do you accept that applies to you? You're forgiven. Secondly, do you know the one who's from the beginning? Well, of course you do. Jesus said everybody who knows him knows the Father because he and the Father are one. He is the image of the unseen God. Has Jesus made himself known to you? Of course he has. He revealed the glory in your heart. Now, if you know him, you know the Father. And every born-again Christian can say, as we read in our text, I know him who's from the beginning. I know him. I know him through Christ. Thirdly, if you are a Christian, do you realize how strong you are? You're strong. Paul writes in his epistles that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Christ is the Christian's strength. You're strong. Unless you don't believe the word of God, you're strong, Christian. You have overcome the devil. Do you know that? You've won already. You've defeated Satan. We read in scriptures, greater is he that is in you, Jesus, than he that is in the world. In fact, Christian, think of this. The fact that you have been set free from the grip of Satan and rescued out of darkness means that you have defeated his plans to destroy you. You have, present tense, overcome the evil one. Lastly, if you're a Christian, God lives in you by his word. God has made your heart his temple, and the word of God, Jesus, lives within you. The word lives in you, present tense. So let me make this clear. Every truly born again Christian, by virtue of the fact that they are regenerate, is, as we read in our text, totally forgiven, present tense. Do you disagree? No, you better not. You are forgiven. You know the Father, don't you? You know him. You have overcome the evil one. That's why you're saved. You're strong in the Lord. And the very word of God, present tense, lives in you. That applies to all Christians. Would you agree? Now, maybe you're a young person here this morning. And maybe you feel you're too young to be all that important in the church. But John tells us here, no. I write to you, little children, tekniamu, little children, because you have known the Father. Listen, young people, I wish they were all here now. If you're a Christian, you know things that science will never discover in all its wisdom. You, little children, know him. Maybe you're of rather riper age and you feel a bit past it. One or two of you here. And you may say, I know I'm not all that great. What can I do? John says the same thing to you here. I write to you fathers because you've known the Father and you know stuff that's eternal. To know him is to be in eternal life, isn't it? You are strong in Christ, Christian. You are forgiven in Christ. You have defeated Satan in Christ. You have Christ, God's word, living in you. And right now, you are, as Paul tells us, Colossians chapter 2, complete in him. Holokleros, complete. If you're a Christian, you are right now a guaranteed winner. You're qualified for total Christian blessing. That is what John is saying here. Now you may get this and you may understand it, but you may be thinking, but so what? What practical use can this passage have for me today? I'm going to apply what I've just said. One of the biggest problems I've come across when I speak to Christians is this. Christian people tend to doubt their status. They feel unworthy, unsure. You know, who am I? I'm not good enough. Let somebody else do the job. There's this undermining, this underestimation of who and what we are as Christians. And very often we feel that we're being humble when we do that. But you know what? You're so wrong to run yourself down. The Apostle John tells us today in this inspired word that we are completed in Christ. You are forgiven. You know him from the beginning. You have forgiven. You have defeated the evil one. You are strong in the Lord. You have the Word of God living in you. Do you believe this? Can you doubt what we read here in the light of the clear gospel truth? Is there any Christian here that can say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not strong. I'm not forgiven. If you say that, you're doubting your own faith. Now, here's my challenge. In the light of what we read today, let us never use our age as an excuse for excusing ourselves. You've got no right to say, oh, I'm too young. Let somebody older do it. Or I'm too old. Let somebody younger do it. Maybe you're a young man or a young woman in your prime of your life, and you might say, well, I'm young and I've got a lot of commitments and a lot of work and a lot of responsibilities. Wait until I get older and then I'll get serious about God. I haven't got time at the moment. No. What John tells us today is this. We are all fully qualified as Christian people to stand up and serve our God now to the best of our abilities. And you know what? This is a major problem in many of our churches. Many churches make age a big divisive issue. Ever heard of age apartheid? Age apartheid? Well, I coined the phrase, but never mind. You get churches who separate young people from their older brothers and sisters because they even sometimes have different services and different preachers and different colored Bibles and all the rest of it. It's so sad that there are even Christians in this church, spirit-filled, born-again Christians, who have very little fellowship with other born-again Christians because there are divisions in generation. And I know people that hardly ever speak to people who belong to other generations. We don't relate. I call it age apartheid. And you may disagree, but I believe, put my foot in it now, I believe the idea of youth church is unbiblical. There's only one church, Ephesians 4. John tells the little children of the church, you are totally forgiven. You know God. Well, what higher qualification is that? And then he tells the fathers the same thing. You know God. And to know God is eternal life, John 17. He tells the young men, you are strong and you've overcome the evil one. There were three different groups of age here. But what one single unifying factor makes all this possible? Christ. To have Jesus, irrespective of your age, makes you totally forgiven, given access to full knowledge of the Father, made strong, given victory, and filled with God's word. All of you, brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of your age, are fully qualified and complete now. That's what John's saying here. Do you understand it? You're never too young. And I'm sorry all the young ones went out now, but there's some semi-young people here. You're never too young to stand up to the glory of God in all your being. About 3 years ago, I read this in Barnabas. ISIS came into a village in Iraq, a Christian village, and they separated the women and children from the men. And they said, we're going to kill all the men, but we'll let the women and children become Muslims. We'll take them away. And you know, one little boy, 10 years old, walked out of the crowd of children and said, you'd better kill me too, I'm a Christian. I want to die with my father. 10 years old, but he was fully qualified to give glory to God. He has the full established gospel, whether he's a young person, a young man, or a father. Young people here today, I know that it's difficult to get your priorities right, and you're thinking, well, when I retire, then I'll get serious for God, but who says you're going to live that long? You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones was 26 years old, a young man at the, he wasn't at the prime, he was even younger than the prime of his life. 26, he was a successful physician, Harley Street, top of the range. He was a surgeon. He was offered a position in Buckingham Palace as a royal physician. That's how good he was. And at 26, he decided to give it all up and preach the gospel in South Wales in a little working class church. Yes, he had so many responsibilities as a young man, but Christ was his everything. You're never too old. Ever heard of Polycarp? Polycarp was a leader of the early church. He was 95 years old. 95? That makes Celia look like a spring chicken. They captured him, put him on trial, and found him guilty of Christianity. And the judge said to him at the end, Polycarp, you're an old man. Out of mercy, I'm going to let you go. All I ask you to do is renounce Christ, and I'll let you go and live quietly the rest of your days. And these were Polycarp's words. 86 years, Christ has been faithful to me. How can I deny him now? And he gladly went away, smiling and praising God, to a stake where they burned him alive. He gave glory to God in his old age. If we're to get any benefit out of today's reading, it ought to be this. No matter how old you are today, no matter how young you are, if Christ is in you according to my text, you've got it all. Stop waiting for some better day or dreaming of better days gone by. Now you can give God your best. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that this simple message will be taken by you, your children. May we realize this is clearly what John is saying. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you will apply this passage to all your people now, because you have promised your word will never return to you empty. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen.